Good afternoon. Welcome to eBooks.
Okay, first question. Is there anybody here who thinks that eBooks are the work of the devil? All right, panel over. Have a nice day. Problem with having a discussion about eBooks and piracy and everything else is that, especially
when it's a situation where everybody in the room agrees with you.
Well, do you want some devil's advocate?
You'd be a good choice, Joe.
I just want to make sure, when you say e-books, do you mean books that are published only on the internet in electronic form? Oh.
Well, an ebook is an electronic book. All right. In my case, all of my books have been published on the internet in unencrypted format, 100%, before the books are published in hard copy. All right. They come out in the bound galleys version before the books hit the street, and then if there's any corrections, they get corrected online after the book hits. I have books which are posted that are, again, in unencrypted format, et cetera, the complete book up on the web. They are also for sale as paperbacks. My paperback sales have not fluttered whatsoever by them being out there. Primarily right now, what ebooks are for regular writers, people who publish hard copy of some sort, are a form of advertising. I have, you know, to deal with my critics, I have things after things here, but I will go ahead and read this one just because. Finally got my copies of Him Before Battle and Gus Brunt delivered to me yesterday. I already read HBB, Him Before Battle, from the free library, which is where it's available off of the Bain website. So he just goes to the Bain website, clicks on this book, it comes up, he can download it in multiple different formats, including RTF, you know, or he can read it online. So he reads, after reading it there, I knew I had to have a DeadTree version. This is one of the two common reactions. A less common reaction is, I've gotten to the point where I don't read hardcovers at all. So I can either buy them online, or I can rip them off, or I can, get them free or whatever. We have a system at Bain which is called Webscriptions, which is where the stuff gets published in advance. $15, you get everything that Bain produces for that month, or you can buy individual books. Webscriptions was the brainchild of Jim Bain, who runs Bain Publishing, after people that he dealt with on a chat bar called Bain's Bar. Barflies, raise your hand. Okay, we're going absolutely nuts about him dropping little pieces of a book online because, you know, he'd get in this next book from David Weber. I don't know how many people know him, but he's this tremendously popular writer. Well, he gets Ashes of Victory, the electronic version from, you know, emailed from David, and, you know, everybody's like, when's Ashes of Victory coming out? Jim, when's Ashes of Victory coming out? And Jim's like, I've got a copy and you don't. And they're like, well, you know, what's it about? How's it go? So he starts dropping little pieces of this book online. People are going nuts. Women are offering him to have his children if he will just put more of the book out online. So he's having a great old time. And he goes, well, you know, if people are this serious about it, they'll pay for it. And Jim is a capitalist. So he started this program called Webscriptions. It has been tremendously successful. These books are not encrypted. These books are not $29.95 for one book. And his approach is, what you have to do is you have to have content that people want at a price point that they will pay. And there's a way to make money. He made three times as much on Webscriptions last year than he made on all of his foreign rights. Three times as much profit off of Webscriptions than he made off of all his foreign rights. Webscriptions are just a tremendously successful experiment. They go in the exact opposite direction of everything else in the industry. The price is reasonable. 5-6 books for $15. Used to be 10. The Barflies actually talked him into increasing the price because he said there were some writers he wouldn't be able to do it unless he bumped the price up. They said, hey, $15, we'll pay that. Okay? You get 5 or 6 books. 2 of them are, you know, major things that people are going to be out there looking for, the first-run hardcovers that are coming out for that month. But the other thing that's been happening is that his mid-list writers and his low-list writers, people who a lot of people aren't reading, they'll pick up a Webscription that's got a David Weber or Lois Bujold or John Ringo in it, and then they'll all of a sudden go, hey, who's this guy Lars Walker? Or who's this guy Mike Williamson? So it has been a tremendously successful experiment. And Eric Flint is the guy who really ought to be in this panel. Eric Flint suggested the free library. After the books have gone through Webscriptions and come out in hardcover, come out in paperback, and done the second Webscription deal, the books get published. Some books, specific books, get put out absolutely free. Whole book, not a sample, nothing else. This started, David Weber actually started this with his book on Basilisk Station, which is the first book of the Honor Harrington series, which is his big money maker. Okay? Honor Harrington is where David lives from the point of view of making money, and Jim Bain, I might add. So they took the first book and put it out on the web. David's paperback sales soared. It became, for several months, the best-selling paperback that Bain Publishing had after it was released for free on the web.
After the first one was released for free.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But that was the one that was selling in hardcover, it was in paperback. Now, Jim finally just must have had a stroke. He decided that if more was better, and every time that he gave away more stuff for free, he was making more money, okay? He decided that he'd just go ahead and go whole hog and just do something criminally insane. So the next David Weber book that's coming out has got not only the whole book in unencrypted format on a CD in the back of the book, it has got 23 other books in their entire, 22 other books in their entire, yeah, and one book that it's only 10 chapters, but that's because the book won't even be published for another few months. But he's got all these books, major writers, in unencrypted format, that he's just including. It's like, you know, buy this CD and get a hardcover free. And we'll just have to see what happens from that. Mercedes Lackey, any Mercedes Lackey readers in here at all? Mercedes Lackey and I can agree on if we were both standing outside at sunrise, we could agree that that was probably the sun coming over the horizon, right? Yes.
I'm just the intro. Who are you?
Hi, I'm John Ringo.
Okay.
I don't think I even said that, did I?
No.
We assume.
Hi, I'm John Ringo. I write some science fiction novels.
Okay. Mercedes Lackey and I can't agree on anything, except we agree on this one particular item. And Mercedes came in with some real numbers after a while. Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction to Arrows of the Queen, too. Okay. Arrows of the Queen, who's read it? Okay. It was her first trilogy that came out. It's been fairly continuously turned over. You go into a Walden Books or a Barnes & Noble, about 50% of the time you can get it. Just in general, I strongly recommend the Last Herald Mage trilogy rather than Arrows of the Queen, but that's because I'm a guy. Who doesn't have a problem with homosexuality. Arrows of the Queen has been out there for forever, and she has gotten... her statement was, I have gotten approximately this amount for the last 10 years on my royalty statement every single year. Her books having nothing to do with the Valdemar universe. Her Bane books, which are a completely different deal, got released, several of them, on the free library. Her next royalty statement that came in that would reflect those releases, all of her rotated books, especially Arrows of the Queen, had tripled in the amount of money that she was getting from them. Tripled. Not the books themselves. Some other book, which she also was making more money off of. But it had reflected across her entire back stock. Okay? These people who are out there who have got 25 novels that are out there that don't sell diddly and they refuse to release anything on, you know, if they have their house repossessed, that's fine by me because they're dumb. Okay? Now, here's the second point about ebooks. The reality is that right now, ebooks for writers who just write for a living, I don't know of anybody who just writes for e-publishing alone for a living who doesn't have some sort of secondary income. No? Okay, so you're making it?
Pretty grandmaster.
Cool, man. Absolutely. Wonderful. Absolutely. Okay, but this guy is the wave of the future. Because one of these days, okay, everybody's seen at least one episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where the guys are walking around with the little pad things in their hands. Okay. Do you really think that in 75 years from now, we will be talking about printed books? No.
Yes.
This will be the antique panel. Pleasure they go into their books.
The only person who did that was Picard, and he's a weirdo. Okay. I know a lot of people right now. I probably ought to just hand these things around. I know a lot of people right now who the only thing they read anymore is e-books. They're probably about 15 to 20% of the webscriptions money are people who just read e-books off of one form of reader or another. When the readers come down to $100 price point with a screen which is really good resolution, and in which you don't have to have any sort of specialty format, you can dump anything into it. When it's basically a simplistic PDA that's a really good reader, when it gets down to that point, especially when they go into the schools, California's already starting to talk about replacing all of their textbooks with electronic books. Okay. Yeah, but eventually it will occur. But we've got science fiction writers who are out there. Science fiction writers who write about the future who are saying, oh no, we must continue to make buggy whips. Okay? Harlan Ellison is out there screaming and ranting and raving, and my God, I wish he was on this panel with me. Well, that's probably a strong statement on my part. It would be good if somebody like Harlan were on this panel with me. They write about the future, and they are standing there with their arms spread trying to say no. You can't do it. You've got to get on the wave, and you've got to figure out how to write it and survive.
I don't think you can make a sweeping statement about what people do based solely on technological advance, because I think it's part of a component of human nature that a lot of people like to look back, just like a lot want to look forward. And
sure.
Even if we get to a point where readers are in every house, people will still want to use books.
And I'll sell lots of books to the Amish. I'll be happy to. Okay.
I'm speaking from the viewpoint of someone who's been a bookworm her entire life and has hundreds, if not thousands, of books. So that's my viewpoint. My concern is, though, right now the website you have where they put the free books out, that's a novelty. Okay. I understand it's pretty original. No other publishers are doing that. But what will happen, I just can't figure out how the authors will survive and make money once, you know, all these books come out. I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
I hate that all the authors go out of business because then there'd be no more books for me to read.
Can you take that 1 second? I mean, come on up.
All right.
Come on up. Okay. Here I am, Joe Schmo, all right? I am a person that no one has ever heard of. A guy named John Ringo, who lives out in the country in Commerce, and works as a database manager. And I write the great science fiction novel. Okay? The great science fiction novel, quite frankly, when I get finished with it, looks wonderful to me and actually sucks. Okay? It's going to need a lot of work. Okay? If I want people to go to a website and buy that book and send me money, whether it's they go to a website and I'm getting, you can't get much money off of banner ads that I'm aware of these days, but however I get money from that book, I've got to get people to come look at that book. All right? Now, there are things that I need to do so that people like my books. I need to have some sort of art for it. Whether it's just a cover art type thing that says, here's some image of the book, or whether it's even internal art. I need to have some art for the book. I really need a copy editor. Boy, howdy, do I need a copy editor. And Joe Buckley, God bless his soul, is only halfway there to being a professional copy editor. Okay, so I need a copy editor. It really should be set up in such a way as it looks good on the web. So I need somebody who knows about that. Now, there may be things in here that I know about that I can do. I might be an artist and I can do the art. You should never copy edit your own book, so I really shouldn't copy edit it. But I might think that I'm the world's greatest copy editor, and I'll copy edit it. Okay? All of this is taking time from me being a writer. So I can go out and I can get 5 or 6 people to put things together for me, market it, and all that stuff. Or I can go to one guy and say, here is my book. And he looks at it and he says, this is a pretty good book, but it's going to need some work. Okay? He does all of the stuff. He has 5 or 6 people that work for him, some of them in a particular office, some of them scattered all over the globe. Okay? And they do all the work. All right? While I'm off writing the next great science fiction novel. This person, whether you want to call him a publication agent or a publication manager, is a publisher. Okay? Publishers aren't going away. The other thing is, you, the reader, has one of two choices. You can go out there and look at the slush pile that's out there. You can go to altebooks.slushcrap, okay? And you can download 500 books and read them all. You've just turned yourself into a first reader and the brains will drip out of your ears, okay? Or you can know more or less what you like and you can go to specific websites, which every month they come out with some books from different writers, and you know what you're going to get from there. So you pay $3, $5, $3, probably somewhere around $3 or $4 per book. All right? And what you're paying for is the writer, who gets a cut of that, the copy editor, who gets a cut of that, the artists and everybody else, and the guy who puts it all together, who's the publisher. So I don't see the basic framework going away. What I do see going away is really bad publishers. Okay? Publishers who don't have a brand, who publish just whatever crap somebody manages to convince them to publish. Because they will quickly, in that environment, die. Yes?
Go for it. You're telling it just like it is on that.
Okay, that's my look at what the future is going to be. Now, are there still going to be people who will buy paper books for the next... In 120 years, will there be a paper book market? There will be a paper book market in 120 years, and it won't be a market for buggy whips. I mean, it won't be a buggy whip market by any stretch of the imagination. But it will be closer, I think, to where the specialty publication market is right now. The small, it'll all be small press, in
my
opinion.
Well, POD is going to go a long way.
Huh?
POD, the machinery, the hardware necessary.
Technology. Yeah.
Kiosk. You'll be able to
put
a coin in, get a book for a flight or whatever.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, though, for convenience, we've got PDAs. 60% of my sales last year went to Palm format.
Yeah.
And that means that all these people on the way to work or sitting around at lunch or, you know, when they sneak out for a cigarette or whatever.
Or in a really boring meeting. Yeah. I get that one all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for a hymn before battle. Mm. I had a marketing meeting on Friday, and I finished it during the 4 hours, you know?
That's it. But PDAs are going to come a long way.
Yeah.
And anything necessary to carry your entire world of data with you at all times is going to be just too easy. that people won't carry a book around when you can have something the size of today's PDA with a battery that'll go the whole weekend. You'll go camping in the woods or whatever, drop it in the stream, pick it up, dust, you know, dry it off and use it anyway. Get to that point on things, people will be carrying those things around like CD players and whatnot now.
And it'll probably also be a CD player.
Now you've got thousands of books. I can tell you, I've got close to 6,000 books myself. And they've all come from flea markets. So somebody's not getting my money. Somebody else is. But
You rad bastard.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you would introduce yourself.
Ed Houderschild. I have a Bentor Press on the web. And 2 years ago, I came to one of these Dragon Con. Well, actually, it was 3 years ago now. And I asked a question to a panel up here concerning if I could sell something on the net, would you be interested in seeing, well, like I kept it separate, so I'd have tax records or something to prove that I've had a good sales record with these books. And all four panel members, no way we'd touch anything that had ever been on the net in any form, not.
Now, I will make a statement. Bain Publishing in the industry is considered to be absolutely insane. Jim Bain, as far as everyone else in the industry, except maybe Tom Delahanty, who's a friend of his, everybody else in the industry is absolutely sure that Jim Bain is smoking crack on a daily basis. Okay.
But he smokes crack all the way from the bank every day.
Yeah. Now, Jim Bain, if you had something that had a good track record, Jim Bain would take a look at it. As long as it met his brand, it wouldn't bother him at all.
Right.
Anything owned by Bertelsheim or Viacom or, you know, any of these other groups, no.
No, these
they don't even, I mean, they don't even glance at it. It doesn't exist to them. If it's been out on the web in any form like that, which is stupid. Plan 9 Publishing, Sluggy.com, and a lot of the other comic books that are on the web. Plan 9 Publishing was actually started. Has anyone here ever read Kevin and Kel? Okay. Plan 9 Publishing is the company that publishes Kevin and Kel, User Friendly, General Protection Fault, Sluggy Freelance, all of these web comics. The comics come out on the web already. All right. So this guy, Kevin and Kel, has this web comic, which is extremely successful. Plan 9, by the way, has a booth in the exhibitors hall. And Pete Abrams is here, so if anybody's a Super Sluggy fan, dude, stop by and see Pete. He should be around a little bit still.
Anyway, they all said there was no way in hell they'd touch him, see him.
Yeah, but that was the deal. The guy who does Kevin and Kel, whose name slips my
Bill Holbrook.
Bill Holbrook. Okay, went to a couple of publishers who did these kinds of books, and. He said, look, well, he's got a whole other strip that runs in the daily newspaper. So he goes to this publisher and he says, look, I've got this thing. It's got all these hits. I'm making a lot of money off of it. People are buying a little teeny tiny bit of merchandise that I sell. And I think that we could publish these and we'd make a lot of money. And the publisher said, no, it's already been on the web. No. Okay. Lawyers and lawsuits and no, there's no market for it, and blah, 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 blah. He said, cool. Well, not cool. I don't like it. So he's talking to a buddy of his named David Allen. David Allen is doing some magazine stuff and this and that. And so David keeps coming to him, and he says, well, when are you going to have books on this? Because I want to buy a book, Bill. And he says, well, I talked to my publisher. Publisher says you can't do anything. So this goes on for a couple of years, and then David Allen finally says, fine, give me all the stuff, and I'll put a book together, and we'll sell it. So they start selling them at cons. These things sell like hotcakes. So now David Allen has a nice, comfortable lifestyle going around from con to con, publishing these books, selling them at cons. He sells them through Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and, you know, hey, but all this stuff has already been on the web. How can you sell it? Well, the guy who did it doesn't have a problem with it because I'm paying him $3 a book.
Well, you know, Mark Twain and Edgar Allan Poe also went the self-publishing route. They just didn't have a net.
Yeah.
And a whole rack of authors, including, what's the biggest quote book you can think of?
Bartlett's?
That's it.
Yeah.
He self-published. He couldn't sell the concept to anybody.
There was another one that I can think of that they went out to try to get something published. It was Crosswords. Oh, no, it was Simon & Schuster.
That's it.
Simon & Schuster. Simon had a cousin who was really into crosswords back in the 1920s. And he went out to buy a crossword puzzle book, and he couldn't find any crossword puzzle books. So he and a buddy of his made a big crossword puzzle book for his cousin. And she liked it a lot, and she told some of her friends. So they said, you know, can you make another copy for us? So they basically went, well, the heck with it. We'll just get a printing press.
P.O.D.
We'll sell a bunch of them, you know. They made a fortune, and today they're Simon & Schuster, okay?
You can't listen to anybody who says no, flatly, no. They're wrong.
Yeah. Right now we really are in a revolution, and we really are at the beginning of the wave. And the writers who are saying, no, I'm going to swim, I'm not going to ride the wave. Hey, I've tried to swim against a wave. What it does is it picks you up, and it slams you on the bottom, and it rolls you around a lot, and, you know, you got a good chance of drowning. I personally choose not to drown. Okay?
Yeah.
I am not going to stand in the way and try to force you guys to do something that you're not going to do. You're going to figure out a way around it. Even if you take my book and you tear all the pages out and you scan them, okay, you're going to figure out a way around it. So why not make money off of you instead?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
When you produce an e-book, is it always best to have a physical copy as well, like on disk to sell to people? Or do you prefer having it just online and you link it various ways to have it just bought online, strictly without any physical objects whatsoever?
Better ask him, because
have both. You can get my CD with all 12 books for $15, or you can buy them $3 a piece, and they're in a series of three each, so you're going
to
wind up spending $9.
Did
you
to sell people physical objects and say, here it goes on your computer, but here it is right here?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Last year, this is through April 15th and taxes and like that, I came to $31,000 and some change, something just under $200. And all I really got to show for it in record keeping are my PayPal receipts. That's it. I don't even have those in paper except the ones I printed out to show Sharon. So we just took the checks and cashed them. It's so easy to stash a file someplace and make it accessible through either a password or through, it got so busy for a while that I went to eBookAd. Have you ever heard of them? eBookAd.com?
Mm-hmm.
And I put my stuff up there because it was getting to the point where I was spending my life on doing email, returning, you know, $3 here, $3 there, and it sounds great at first.
Yeah, but, real quick, what I'd like to point out here is he's running into already, and that's a wonderful example, the problem that I talked about, why there will be publishers.
That's it.
Okay.
Had
he needs somebody
else
out there who is making a cut of it to manage all of this stuff.
I still offer the option for email, but it's $350. And people will go to the ebook ad site and buy it for $3 and be happier. And plus, they'll get it instantly. They don't have to wait for me to send it. Of course, I don't sign it either. I don't. I don't.
I tell you to go down to Science Fiction and Mystery Bookstore and buy my book.
Yeah.
Okay? Dealer's room. You go in, it's right to the left. Thank you very much.
You wouldn't sign the CD?
Oh,
come on.
Oh, a CD, yes. I do that. A little thank you in the head, and I do that. Yeah. But I'm not going to sign your e-book.
Questions. I really wish I had somebody to argue with here.
Yeah. Well, you're preaching to the
choir. I need to be out at Worldcon where statements like this are.
Oh, you could have heard that earlier.
Oh, keep forgetting this thing. Wireless too. It seems like what they're doing at Bain would be good publicity for new authors, good way to get known for people, you know, because be honest, relatively few people are going to go out and spend $25 on a hardcover book by someone they've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But it would seem to be not good for more established authors.
Yeah. It doesn't take... Eric Flint has... if you go on the Bain website and go to the free library, there's this thing called Prime Palaver, which is Eric basically having diarrhea of the typewriter on the subject of free ebooks. Eric has gone into a lot of detail about stuff. One of his arguments is very, very cogent. For some reason, my brain feels like it's stuffed with cotton wool, but I will try to remember the logic of Eric's arguments. Basically, there are three different kinds of buyers. Do you remember the argument, and that's why you're holding your hand up?
Actually, not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've been slashdotted a lot. Slash dot is a website which
crashes other websites.
And discusses various things having to do with the Electronic Freedoms Forum is probably a good way to phrase it. They have had posts about Bain and all this stuff a lot.
Literary critics are the people who can't write anyway.
Well, no, this stuff's generally pretty positive because they're very anti-RIAA and all that stuff. There are three kinds of people who you're going to run into having to do with ebooks. Okay. There are kind of ebooks where there's also a hardcover. Okay. From the point of view of losing a hardcover sale, there are the kind of people who are never going to buy the hardcover anyway because they don't have the $24. Okay. College students and teenagers and stuff like that who can't talk mom and dad into buying War of Honor, all right? You're not going to get that sale anyway, okay? Then there are the people who, the people who would buy the book, but will only buy it in ebook format anyway, all right? And then there are the kind of people who are going to buy the ebook, like this guy, buy the ebook, and then because they don't want to read it on the screen all the time, or want to be able to just pick it up anytime and read it, are going to buy it in ebook, and then also buy the hardcover. Well, ebook's only going to cost them about $3. When you start talking about $24, the kind of person who will buy a hardcover is going to buy it anyway. So there's no one has seen any loss of sales. David hasn't seen any loss of sales. Lois Bujold hasn't seen any loss of sales.
That might be because it's relatively new yet, and not that many people. I'm a hardcover reader. I buy hardcovers. And
I have several out there.
I came to this because I don't know anything about the ebook thing, and I'm just thinking that you might be plagiarizing in the future as it becomes more popular. Plagiarizing, not so much the hardcover, but the paperback books. It just seems counterintuitive
plagiarizing
to me.
plagiarizing is probably not the term you're looking for.
Probably
what do you
not.
Mean?
Pirating.
Pirating?
Thank you.
The piracy issue especially. Most of the people who are going to pirate the book are never going to buy the hardcover in the first place.
They're thieves. That's all they are. They're going to be that way.
They're never going to buy your book. Okay? Now, if they're a 15-year-old kid who goes out and borrows an electronic copy that he's gotten third hand of a Hymn Before Battle from somebody or something that you know, Gust Front or March of the Stars or whatever, and he gets it from his buddy who got it from another buddy who got it from another buddy. He's a 15-year-old kid right now. What are the golden years of science fiction, right?
Yep.
Everybody says the 1930s. No, they're a 14-year-old boy.
That's it.
Okay? Now, he's not going to buy the book anyway. But if you're writing... when he's 26, he's going to buy the book, okay? That's like the people who get upset that they put their books in libraries, you know? That's where I started reading science fiction, was in a library. And I got books to the ceiling that I have bought in bookstores. So you're three kinds of people. The people who are never going to buy the book, the people who are only going to look at it in ebook, and the people who are going to buy the hardcover. The pirates are not going to buy the book anyway. You're not losing sales to those people. A zero from zero is zero.
Just the whole thing seems counterintuitive to
No. Please understand. It's very, very counterintuitive. Yeah.
There is something that I ought to bring
up. Very counterintuitive. Here. You're giving something away free so that you can make more money. Okay? Now, hold on a second. It's very counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. It's so counterintuitive that crack dealers do it.
You're chumming.
Okay?
That's all.
Everybody on the Bain's bar refers to Jim as a crack dealer.
Crack dealers stop giving it for free after a while.
So do we. I don't give away all my books for free.
Okay. Well, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, no, I don't give away all my books for free.
Okay.
No. You get a few of them for free, then you got to pay me for the rest of them. You can pay me an electronic version.
So it's good as an intro to an author.
Oh, absolutely. But even the big authors, I mean, okay, how many people in here have ever read a combat science fiction novel? Something like a David Drake or something along those lines, all right? Okay. Now, of those people, are there any of them who haven't heard of David Weber before? Oh, you put your hand down, Michael, you liar. Okay. But there are people out there who have never heard of David Weber.
Yeah, I was one of those. I was originally introduced to David Weber through their free library version of Bacillus Station.
Bingo.
And later on, after I read them, because they may be big names to some people, but I'd heard the name, but never really looked or was that interested in the book. I didn't want to pay the $5 for hardback.
Yeah, some ship commander, some chick ship commander was the way that one guy put it to me. Honor Harrington, you know, I'm not going to buy a book with some chick ship commander. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's not that. It's just that I'm really picky about my science fiction. I'm more towards the harder side of science fiction. And I'd seen it in the bookstores and stuff. It's like, maybe not, or not. Didn't want to pay for it. Someone pointed out the free library to me, and I saw it on Bacillus Station there, and I decided, oh, if it's free, I might as well give it a look. I did, and I went and bought all the paperbacks that are out there so far.
Yeah. Jim the crack dealer now has another guy hooked. And what this guy is going to discover is that Bain Publishing in their science fiction, they may have all sorts of different stuff, but it's all got, Jim's really serious that the science has got to be right. So if he's into David Weber, he's suddenly going to discover Elizabeth Moon. Mm-hmm. He's suddenly going to discover David Drake. He's suddenly going to discover...
Yeah, I'm reading through the Tank Lords now off the free website.
And one of these days he might even, you know, vaguely consider maybe picking up a book by some guy named John Ringo. Okay?
Possible.
You know?
What I was trying to say was that they may be, or people may be big names to some, like if you, around here, if you say David Webb, they're like, oh, I know him.
Yeah.
But not everybody knows him.
Right.
And
that's the answer on the subject of big name authors. There's no such thing as 100% market saturation. There's no such thing as 100% market saturation. This spreads your market even further. That's the counterintuitive part.
Well, I think what you're saying now makes a lot more sense to me in terms of that you don't offer all your books, but you offer a few of them.
Sorry, if you thought you were going to get all of my books for free, you were wrong. on the disc you do.
Okay.
On the disc, you're getting all sorts of books. Okay, not just David Weber books. You're getting all of John Ringo's books that were out at that point. You're getting a bunch from Jerry Cornell. You're getting a bunch from Eric Flynn. Okay, but guess what? Jim is thoroughly planning on the print run for War of Honor being phenomenal, because there's going to be people who are going to be going out there to buy War of Honor who have never bought a David Weber book before, because there's all these other books.
Mm-hmm. But see, people have only a certain amount of free time. You know, people's lives are about the
latest,
right?
Paper books too.
Yeah.
Read so much in a day.
But so let's say the average person can read a book a week. I'm making this number up, right? If they can get 15 free books off the website or for whatever, it's got to cut into their physical book sales.
How many people just love reading a book on computer?
Yeah.
Huh?
On
e-book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On a screen.
Yeah.
on a screen. How many just absolutely love it?
Yeah.
Okay, now, for everybody else in here who gets this disc, you know, Jim's down to the point of thinking about just mailing this disc like AOL. All right. It was seriously discussed. Okay. You know, just stick this disc in your computer and you'll be hooked. Okay. Oh, wow, this book is great, but I am getting tired of reading it on. Oh, I can click on this link, which is on every screen, and buy it from Amazon.com. Come on.
So you're saying that
the sales on every one of those books is likely to go up.
So we're going back to the same thing. When we first started this discussion, it sounded like you believed e-books would replace physical books.
They will.
And for the most part.
Now it seems that you're talking that they're good for introducing people and providing to hook people.
Eventually they will, but understand, what I'm saying is I'm learning to surf the wave.
Okay.
Instead of swimming into the wave and trying to fight the wave, okay, I'm getting up and getting ready to body surf the wave. All right. Jim Bain is making money off of webscriptions right now. I don't make that much money off of webscriptions right now. But we've got to figure out how to surf the wave. You try to fight the wave, and you're just going to go in. All right. Right now, they're wonderful marketing. Okay. And I make some money off of them. But I made a heck of a lot more money off of hardcover. But when the point comes that there are 100, you know, you sell 50 copies in hardcover, and you sell 100,000 copies in electronic, then I'll be making more money off of webscriptions. And the reason that I'll make it is we'll give some of them away for free, okay? We'll give backstock away for free, all right? Because, you know, you don't make that much money off of backstock anyway, all right? And then the first run books that are coming out, you'll pay a reasonable price for. Or you can wait a week or two until your buddy gets it and he loans it to you, you know, or he emails you a copy, all right? That's no different than him loaning you the book, all right? Most people are going to go to the website and buy it from the website.
And you know, nothing that we've set up here right now takes into consideration the serious changes in the way things are. Well, encryption may be something we can't avoid in the future.
Yeah,
yeah. And wait one. I'm not talking about encryption by a publisher or by an author's request or whatever. I'm talking about some feds are recently talking about making security in things like PGP you have now for personal messages and whatnot, some sort of de facto standard for what communications we have in country. I'm trying to find out more about that. I just got wind of it this afternoon, where the encryption would not be placed on by an individual, but by someone who didn't want the messages to go out of country.
You know, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
You know, hackers will figure out a way around it. You know. Oh, you know, speaking of hacking, I'm not a hacker. I used to be a database manager and you know, I'm fair with a computer. I used to be the go-to geek in a place that didn't have anybody who knew anything about computers. I was one of those guys. All right. I get this disc from Sarah McLachlan. I like making my own discs, mixing them up, workout CDs with stuff from, you know, everything from Head East to Britney Spears on it, okay? I get this thing from Sarah McLachlan. I load it into my computer, preparing to copy it into MP3 format.
Had a lock on it?
SOB won't copy. I have no idea why. So I go on Bain's Bar. Hey! What's wrong with my Sarah McLachlan CD? It won't copy. I get an email from a person who shall remain nameless. He says, take a Sharpie marker. Run it around. You see a little track on the outside? Run it around that little track. I email him back. Does it have to be a Sharpie?
He did.
Yes. Get my Sharpie marker rather than the one that was right next to it, which is virtually identical. Go and black out that little track. Load it in. I now get to listen to Sarah McLachlan on any CD I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will figure out a way around.
They will.
They will figure out a way around.
Now, going kind of back to the, you know, how you were saying this is counterintuitive and you're trying to surf the wave on this. This isn't really that new, though. anytime a publisher is releasing free books, giving free books away, they're making more sales off of it. That's been a historical aspect of it, hasn't it? Is it
no,
not
they
really
tend
that
not
new.
To give away large numbers of absolutely free books. And the reason that they tend not to give away large numbers of absolutely free books is it's really expensive to print them and distribute them. And what's even worse is you have to convince bookstores, yes, we're going to give you 70 books. We want you to front stock them, and they're absolutely free. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we make any money? I mean, that's floor space that it's taken up, okay? Usually what they do is the classic is the wheel of endlessly spinning time that shall never reach any sort of a conclusion, in which the first book, Tor, did half book. They did half the book, and they distributed something like 100,000 copies of the half book.
At every con in the U.S.
Oh, forget cons. Every Walden Books had them. You know, they had a big display with just dozens of them in the display and kept the display stocked for a month. Sold 1 million books, okay? But giving the whole thing away for free is not so bit such a big deal. What Jim has figured out is if you've got a writer who has been writing for a while, once he actually starts to have some back stock, you take some of that back stock and you give that away for free. The CD is a special case. It's a special test. You don't know what's going to happen. Here's the wave, and the wave's shifting. It's just starting to form. You don't know if it's going to go right. You don't know if it's going to go left. You don't know if it's going to break real early or if it's going to break in hard. And we're up there trying to figure out where the wave's going. And one of the things is the CD. Jim's talking about taking the next book that comes out of mine, Hell's Fair, is also going to have a CD on it. We hoped to have a role-playing game ready that would go for free on the CD for the universe. And he's talking about doing an audio book in MP3 format on the CD for free.
Somebody reading the book out loud.
Jim just loves this whole idea. He's always looking for a better version of crack. Anybody else?
You mentioned earlier, how do you deal with the fact that some of these people might be pirating your books and whatnot, with piracy and whatnot?
Pirate that many books.
People who are never going to read my books anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, never going to buy my books anyway. All right? They might, in earlier days, they might have stolen it from the bookstore. They might have gone around behind a bookstore and taken strips out of the trash can. Mm-hmm. They might just be the kid that goes down and lives in the library. All right. Most of the people who do that, very few of them just, well, okay, first of all, I don't create a situation where it's a challenge. All right. A lot of these hacker types out there, what they really want to do, they don't want to read the book. They just want to break the encryption. Okay. Or they just want to download something that will, you know, they're some of them, not all of them, but some of them are the internet troll types. They just want to piss somebody off. Okay, those people are not going to go out to Barnes & Noble and buy my book. They're not. So I haven't lost a sale. All right? Then there are the people who will only read it on ebook. And I create a situation where they don't have to rip it off. They can buy it from me. And then the last people are the people who are going to buy it or get it for free or get it from a buddy or whatever. And then they'll go, I want to go get the hardcover. And that is a vast majority of the market right now, gentlemen back here.
The other point about that is that the people who aren't ever going to buy it, at least this way, you make it readily available for them to be an advertising source.
Absolutely. Hey, buddy, I got this book that somebody transferred to me, but I don't read this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think you're missing a fourth kind of buyer, the person who would have bought it in paperback, but then finds that they don't even have to pay the $6 for paperback, but they can just, you know, download it.
Do you know how to find a pirate board?
Me?
Does anybody in here who is know how to find a pirate board? Hey, what I'm getting at is the average customer who comes onto Yahoo and punches in ebooks or goes to the Bain site and finds something or other by John Ringo or whoever is not going to be interested in piracy, partly not interested and partly unable to find it. They aren't going to know the ropes.
And people are not going to get a whole lot more technically savvy about computers than they are right now.
They don't need to. They don't have the time.
Right now, most people out there that you deal with in your offices, mm-hmm. what are computers? They know. They are the altar before which they worship, trying to propitiate the gods. It is pure magic to them.
Yeah.
They press the key, something appears. They click something, it does something, and every now and again, they click the wrong thing, and they have to call Elizabeth to come down and mm-hmm. and sacrifice a chicken to get their computer. Okay, now, in 120 years, when everybody is unfortunately having to deal with something that they don't understand to read books, okay, and are still reading books, all right, they're going to want to be able to do it as easily as possible, as long as it's not too expensive. So they are going to go to a website of somebody that they know, a Harlequin, if that's what they read, mm-hmm. A different mystery group, if that's what they read. It, you know, it'll be different companies, but they will each be branded. You don't go out and kill your own, most people don't go out and kill their own cow to get beef, okay? They go to a store that they trust to get the beef. It's going to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. They won't pay a lot. They're not going to pay $29.95 for an ebook. Okay? But they will pay $3, $4, $5, $6. They will pay as much as two loaves of bread.
I think we're missing a point. The biggest profit loss to an author or a musician is the one that's across the ocean in Asia yeah. and other countries that are outside the range of law.
Well, the biggest profit loss to any writer or to any market at all is the person that needs your product and doesn't know that it exists. That's the biggest profit loss in the world. And that includes all those people in Asia, but it also includes this gentleman over here.
But in Asia, they have manufacturers that can produce all over the country. They'll turn out more copies than anybody in the United States.
You know, they laugh at Japan every year because they're not signatory to the copyright or the trade treaties, international treaties. They have a company that makes motorcycles. They're perfect copy of Suzuki's. They make, and they had, last year they sold more in country than Suzuki sold worldwide.
That's the way
Japan has been screaming for
Chinese
years,
will eventually figure
and
out.
China's been laughing their asses off at them. The Chinese market is not there. It's not going to be there. We're not going to go in there. Yes, we got the great virgin market. Bullshit. It ain't there. They have their own laws. They're looking at ours and going like, no, we're not going to sign it. And you start working it, and then you jump through all the legal loops and whatnot. And 3 or 4 years down the line, you'll get your warrant to go in and take everything off the bookshelves. That's how the law works.
After 90% of the stock is gone.
Right.
Yeah, after 90% of the stock is gone.
As a guy who used to work security at a flea market, I can safely say that there is no piracy of any brands whatsoever occurring in the United States at all.
What the man said, it's not in the U.S.
No, of course, every person you have ever seen walking around with a duck head bag was actually made in a duck head factory. Right.
Or a Gucci bag, or a Gucci belt.
And I paid
full price, original release, for every single piece of Microsoft software on my computer. Okay. including the copy of Word 97 that I used to write all of my novels.
Yep. No, I use WordPad.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
I don't want to get complicated, you know.
I've got an observation to make with software. One of the things that everyone should probably remember is remember back when Microsoft Word 4.0 would fit on a floppy disk and how ubiquitous that was in any computer lab. They didn't ever pay for that many licenses, but everyone had it. But that ubiquitousness made that software package the most successful word processor out there.
It permeated everywhere.
I mean, we don't have WordStar or WordPerfect anymore.
And then they changed the version.
They actually bolstered Microsoft, in effect. And made them the monster that they are today.
Well, look at Metallica. I mean, Metallica got their entire start on the basis of bootleg tapes.
Who?
Metallica.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they are the ones they were the ones leading the charge against Napster.
Yep.
Now, they got
pissed off. Now, they had a reason.
But how much of that was publicity?
Napster had
within it the... they were working on an album. They had the cuts on it. And they were still working them. And one of the guys went out and... He went looking for MP3s, and he found Metallica MP3s. He's like, oh, okay, what do we got? We're not even done with that song yet. What's it doing out there? They got pissed, and it went from there.
Hey,
and their lawyers, and the lawyer said, you can't do anything there. Go this way.
You guys get snippets. You shouldn't be complaining.
I'm not complaining. He was.
I want you to read my books. Why do you think I'm here? You know, mm-hmm. I will glad. You know, if I had enough books, I would gladly give you a free book.
I never heard of you.
Yeah. And you'll never read my stuff, but that's cool.
Well, maybe you
know. You know something else too. I mined the internet for over $30,000 last year. And I'll bet none of these people ever heard of me.
You like stuff with dragons? Huge market. Okay, the stuff that I have right now you won't like.
Okay.
The next series that I'm working on you're going to like. It doesn't have... There will be dragons.
Are there dragons in the internet?
Dragons?
Not
dragons.
What?
Is it going to be fantasy?
Talk to me afterwards. That's
well, that's
it's
actually...
Fantasy. It's a hyper-milieu that fails. Yeah. It's a hypermilieu. It's replication, teleportation, beyond where Star Trek is, far and away.
Okay.
You can change your form and everything else.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, really cool. It's basically every day is Dragon Con, except that all the people who look like Drow walking around, they just change their form to look like Drow. It's just if you want to be, if you want to be a centaur, you can be a centaur. They basically experience a conflict among the people who run things and Y2K with people who don't know how to cut their own food. Everything turns off. And the girl who has had herself transformed for her 16th birthday into a cloud of nanites that she can be anything that she wants is talking with her friend whose mom is a real bitch about any form of transformation when the energy fails and she turns into a pile of dust.
Ooh. But actually, that kind of brings up an interesting question. Sure, it's working great for sci-fi, but is there going to be like a fantasy and Harlequin and mystery market of the same thing that
sure.
Bane is?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is there anything that's out there right now that's like that?
I think it will lag behind science fiction just because science fiction readers are more technologically oriented.
We're pioneers, y'all.
But we're the pioneers.
We got the arrows to prove it.
Take a look around. We are the pioneers of the future. Be afraid.
And watch
okay.
your back.
But, yeah, eventually, you know, eventually...
Have you heard of anybody who's going to be doing... Because I read science fiction and fantasy. And, you know, I'm loving
Tor,
your stuff.
Tor is very interested in this. Jim has been talking to Tom Delahanty and showing Tom Delahanty his numbers because they're very close. So Tom is getting real interested in it, but the people, of course he got bought by St. Martin's Press, and St. Martin's Press has got the traditional huge corporation approach to all this stuff, so we'll just have to see. My guess would be that Tor would be the next one to seriously enter the market.
I was just going to say that part of it is within the corporate level stuff, You got people who don't understand what publishing is. They just know, hey, this is a business that makes money, or it can make money, and they know business.
It's a problem with corporations that are in publishing. At a certain level, you run into people who have never read a book other than a textbook in their life.
Yeah, and some of the things with the recording, what it is the Sharpie example. Sharpies cost what? 69 cents?
Yeah, $1.20 for a really good one.
Okay. The company that put out the CD and all the way back, they spent upwards of $10 million plus dollars.
Researching how to do this.
Mm-hmm. How to do it, and then about that same amount of money to come up with the coding, because the people who were doing it going like, it's going to fail fast. Get the money now.
And it took a guy, when the first one came out, it had spread around among the appropriate community. It took about a week for it to spread out. And at this point, I, who is not in, the community that looks at any of that stuff,
right. It took about
emails
2 weeks.
Emails my buddy.
To go outside of the insiders.
Why isn't my CD working? And the other thing is that they're discussing having a class action lawsuit, because if you load one into certain versions of Macintosh, it doesn't just crash your computer; it fries your hard drive.
Oh, there's more. It won't come out of some car stereos. You cannot get it out, and the little button doesn't work.
That is currently under litigation by Sony. This was discussed on an earlier panel, in actuality. If you go to the DragonCon website, and in a month or two, when Scott's got everything up on the website, you can hear that panel replayed via MP3. But Sony is currently suing the RIAA over that, because they're currently, since those CDs are going into these players and making everything explode, Sony has gotten a lot of return calls, returns, and saying, hey, this thing doesn't work anymore. So Sony
Or it cost me $40 to get it out.
Yeah. And so Sony is suing them, and further, they're trying to sue the RIAA to say that they are no longer CDs, because a CD is a compact disc, whereas what these things are not compact discs, which is the basic essence of the earlier panel.
But isn't Sony producing these too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Charlie Pride is in
Sony basically is trying to get the money in the bank before they lose it.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Pride is undergoing a lawsuit for just that. And just it happened before they came out with the one that you're talking about, McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, they probably already had a stack of them made.
Yes.
You mentioned the beginning of this story. How well is Plan 9 Publishing David Allen doing with the pre-published comics?
Well, David lives a nice, comfortable lifestyle, and so does Pete Abrams. And Pete Abrams doesn't make it off of his website. He makes it off of what he sells through Plan 9 Publishing. And these, But it's going quite well. I mean, for specifics, you'd have to ask David Allen, but quite well enough. Questions, comments, concerns? As my platoon sergeant used to say.
Anything?
Mm-hmm. It is challenge time. What books have you written?
Third World Products, all three in the series. In Service to a Goddess, three books there. Mindy and God, he's making me think. Star Dancer, and if you want a copy of Star Dancer, there's a table over by the art show. Mm-hmm. You can grab one. There's sample. Chumming.
Yeah. Yep. Computer crack.
Yeah. 12 titles on the disc. I'm working on a fourth in the Third World Product series.
Website.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Oh, Abentra Press is abentrapress.tripod.com. And I may even give them $5 a month this year to get the ads off it. It's been there for like 6 years. And I'm not going to notify the whole world and all 4,000 some odd people. I'm just not going to do it. I may actually give Tripod the extra $5 a month they want to get rid of the ads, but I don't even care about that because the people are coming to read the freebies. And the book ad is now handling all the sales into it for me, so. Oh, Abintra Press, A-B-I-N-T-R-A, Press, all one word, and a dot, and a tripod, and a com.
And it's available through ebook ad, right?
Right.
If you're at all interested in ebooks, I strongly recommend ebook ad.
Oh, yeah.
They've got good links, and it's well sorted out, and fictionwise.com.
Very good.
Fictionwise is where all the stuff that's not on the Bang site resides that you can pay money for.
They've even got a dollar bin, and it's got real names in it.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's one out, not really right? Curious. Yeah.
We can go a few more minutes.
We're not getting any questions, and we don't really have anything more to talk about. We're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for coming up here.
Yeah. No, I